twisting to each other house down.
So hope we got you up and twisting with that music by Chubby Checker. And in studio, we have our next two guests. We have Charlie Cho and Grace Chin. They are the co-writers of a play that's coming out February 6th to 9th called Twisting Fortunes. Good morning, Charlie and Grace.
Good morning.
Wow. And they are full of energy this morning. So tell us about this play that you have written, Twisting Fortunes.
Charlie, you want to take this?
All right. It is, one of the taglines is it's an accidentally Asian romantic dramedy.
Which that's a mouthful.
It is. It's kind of fun. You know, I mean, partly accidentally Asian means their Asianness is kind of incidental, and yet at the same time, one of our theories is anyway, is that when a couple Asian Canadians run into each other on the street, you know, it kind of becomes an issue. It comes up, the relative Asianness or not Asianness.
Okay, the extent of Asianness that they have.
Exactly, or their take on things. So they'll differentiate. The romantic part of it as well, like, I mean, it's more of it's a modern romance in the sense of, like, Garden State or Before Sunrise or Kevin Smith movies, because, you know, it's not all about the swooniness, you know. They figured they know how love works today, you know. Either you're a serial monogamist or in the case of Ray Chow, that character, he is what they call a simultaneous non-dater. In other words, he loves the idea. He's it's not that he can't commit. Well, maybe so, but he's had sufficient bad experiences that he doesn't want to get too involved. He doesn't want to be necessarily in pursuit. So
basically, they find it easy to fall in like, but then they find the relationship fairly complicated.
Okay.
So do they
reality actually get bites? It sounds like reality bites to me.
Do they actually get to the point of falling in love?
That's kind of for the audience to figure it out.
Okay.
When they come, but there's definitely a lot of romantic tension going on.
So you're not going to tell us the outcome, are you?
No.
So everyone has to go to the show to find out whether they fall from like to love.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. Which is better? Is it better to stay in like, or, and is love, how long does love last? Anyway,
no,
that's a nice show, Grace.
Yeah,
no, I mean, that's
sorry.
Completely valid. And each of them has, that's the whole thing, though. I mean, everyone has their own theory about how life and love and like should work.
Right.
But when it's put to the test, you know, people are less polite about the whole thing. The whole theory is put to the test. So, you know, that's what happens to these characters.
Well, there's actually a line in the play, something to the effect that, you know, it may be better to give to a friend as a friend than anything else. So, the play definitely explores whether it's better to stay in like or to make the final jump into love.
Right. I mean, like, what is that? Is that just a romantic term that's in the air? Like,
how about if we go to a track? They had brought an excerpt from their play, and
all right.
Why don't we let the listeners hear it?
Can
and
I
see
set
if
this
they
up?
Can determine.
Can I set this up?
Yes, you can.
Okay, sure. So basically, this is actually their first non-date, because that's the whole thing. It's just like they're not even calling it a date. They meet actually at a flash mob where, and this actually happened in Vancouver a few years ago, when people were dancing a twist, calling out Chubby Checker, so that's hence where the song came from. But they decide to meet on a lark to go to a cafe. Chat a little bit more, and the thing that you hear before this clip is that they're hearing this really smoochy couple, and now they're commenting on it.
Look, Asians making out in public, they must be Japanese. No, white Americans.
Yeah, where's Hinterland Who's Who when you need him? Gotta admit, though, I'm not a fan of PDAs either.
Palm pilots?
Public displays of affection.
Maybe they're cantopop stars.
Will you come off this already? They're a smoochy couple who happen to be Asian.
Right. Look, whenever I see an Asian couple in matching colors walking toward me on the street, I always perk my ears up. And you know what? More times than not, they're speaking something other than English. You know, this whole Asian-Canadian brotherhood or sisterhood? Complete farce.
What? You can't get a date and you blame the ASCAN nation?
ASCAN?
Asian Canadians? ASCAN for short. You know, it's like Canlit.
Yeah, okay, I get it. But it's like calling yourself a toilet.
I was thinking more along the lines of can of whoop ass. Lighten up! So, what do you have against Asian chicks anyway?
That was an excerpt from Twisting Fortunes featuring Zen Chain Lim and Grace Chin, who is also in studio with us today. Grace is also one of the writers, as well as a performer, as well as a producer, as well as a, what else could we add to your list of jobs on this production?
Hardest working woman in showbiz.
How was it to take on all those roles in this one production?
It has been very exhausting, but also extremely rewarding to do it. Like, initially I had not thought that I would take on as many hats. We had wanted to find a Jessica out there, but it just didn't really quite work out. Like, especially on this end, like a fairly lower budget production, it's difficult to get folks to commit for any extended period of time, let alone, you know, a couple of months. So yeah, it just ended up that I took it on. Like, Kathy, the director, one day just kind of looked at me and said, you know, if you wanted to do it, it would be okay with me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, okay, if it comes to that, then let's go. So, but it has been very exhausting.
I mean, it's through your eyes, semi-autobiographical, shall we say?
We plagiarize each other's lives. we just, I mean, it's so funny because the way we wrote it is that initially it was a radio episodic. And so it would take what has now become scenes and write them alternately. And a lot of the stuff here were just conversations that we came up with. In fact, in that last scene you heard, we were sitting in Denny's and Grace came up with the whole ass can thing. She was just using it as a complete shorthand. And I totally did respond with, it's like calling yourself a toilet. So, I mean, these are just kind of the things, the kind of conversations that we hadn't heard a lot of other people have, and it's fun to kind of share.
And they're not really, these people aren't really just us. Like, we know a lot of different people, and a lot of different experiences have gone into creating these people and the things that they say and the experiences that they have.
Oh, yes. As a semi-professional commenter on other people's romantic endeavors, my husband will attest that whenever we go to restaurants, I will constantly comment on other people's couplehood and their level or state of their relationship. Oh, they look like they've just started dating. Look at that. You know, you could see the knee rubbing against the other knee. I've even gone as far, I must confess, once when I was at Sully's Bagelry on West Broadway, there was a couple there, a young man and a woman. They were, and, you know, the tables are quite close to each other, so I couldn't help but overhear their whole conversation. And they were talking about their different relationships. They were in separate relationships with other people, not with each other. And I couldn't help it. I just felt at the end of their conversation, I was going to say our conversation, but I recall that I didn't actually talk. I was listening. I said to them, I just felt like I couldn't let it go. I said, you guys are just friends, right? But you're not dating? And the guy said yes. I said, you know what? You should just try it. You guys have such good chemistry. And it's funny, you know, we think we're such experts on relationships, yeah, on love, on, until we're in them ourselves, right? And we realize, ooh, it's a little bit of work. It's not a smooth road, and I don't have all the answers that I would have for the couple at Sully's Bagelry, right?
Well, it's cool that you mentioned that, because pretty much, I guess the direction that we took with this play was that it would seem as if you were overhearing this couple,
okay,
go through a relationship slash not relationship over the course of a few months, like a fly on the wall kind of thing, observing these people go through their lives. So, so that's pretty much it. You just hit it right there.
Okay. And am I going to feel compelled to say something to them like, just get it on, or you guys do not belong together, or
as long as you heckle at the appropriate moments, we're okay yeah. with that.
Yes. I mean, one of the neat things as well, though, and it's in common with a lot of things, is that as upfront as they are about things, there are also, it's a very subtle play. Like there's also, they talk a lot through subtext, and there's a lot of things that they don't say. And so music, as we heard a little bit about, plays a part as well, because we play songs like not just that, but more contemporary songs like Michelle Branch, we'll be hearing at the end, R.E.M., we've got, what else do we have in there?
Oh, Biff
Naked, yeah. And it's just like, because the music sometimes says things that we cannot say.
I agree, and it also influences our feelings sometimes. I mean, put on Celine Dion, and I'm right there with my husband.
And I'm gone.
You know?
We actually have tickets to give away. Grace and Charlie have been graciously generous enough to give us two tickets to their show. So if you call us at 604-684-7561, and should we make them answer a question? Let's make it simple. What's the play called?
Okay.
If you've been listening, what is the play called?
Mm-hmm. And if you've been twisting
and good fortune to call 604-684-7561, you get to win a pair of tickets. So back to Grace and Charlie. Who else is in the play? Like, what other kind of characters and the actors involved?
There are the two non-daters are Raymond Chow and Jessica Leong.
Okay.
Jessica is a wannabe actor, and in Vancouver, as so many of us are,
mm-hmm.
and Ray Chow is a part-time radio announcer, oddly enough. And there are two other subsidiary characters, people that Ray interviews that sort of help flesh out not only some of the issues that the play explores, but also it explores Ray's job as a radio announcer and how he feels about it.
Okay. Does he interview them about the topic of relationships or just...
Well, same-sex marriage, basically. And that's kind of an interesting thing because, I mean, he's covering a Vancouver Asian Film Festival event, and so it becomes topical. And I think a part of the thing that Grace enjoys about the play is that it's about... framing how people see Asians, and by giving a wide swath of things and giving different characters and how some Asians see other Asians, Bronze thinks that's one of the topics in there.
So what's the message that you want to get out after someone comes and sees your show?
Message.
The medium is the message.
Okay, I'll touch on sort of like the non-message of it in a way, in the sense that I didn't want, there are many things I did not want this play to be. I did not want it to be a wish fulfillment. I did not want it to be a homage or a declaration for sticky rice, for Asians to stay together. I wanted to give a very real story about how complicated things are, how Asian men and Asian women will blame each other for particular things, and what the reality is, and, you know, what... I think it's a genuine love story, just, like, first and foremost, like, whether or not it's about falling in love, falling in like, or whether or not they get married, or whether or not they have babies or not. You know, it's a love story, and I think it's a modern love story in the way that people are trying to figure out meaning and happiness
well,
in their
and
life.
Well, as far as Asian representation in the media goes, it seems as if we're either Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift or Joy Luck Club. And there isn't a heck of a lot in between. You know, Asians as people going through the kinds of experiences that you might see in Kramer versus Kramer or, you know, just movies about people going through stuff.
Now, did you take the approach that we really want to drive home that these are Asian characters, or did you... and make a political statement about that? Or do you see, when you mention like Kramer versus Kramer and the life events that happen to everybody and universally, so when you write, who are you trying to target? Who's your target audience? Are you trying to reach the general masses, or are you trying to connect with your
cultural brothers and sisters?
Well, it's the whole idea of being specifically universal. If a particular issue or topic is universal enough, then even though the specific context is very in your face, shall we say? I mean, we can't avoid looking like Asians. I'm sorry. We resemble Asian people because, hello, we are Asian people. So as far as that goes, we weren't trying to avoid the issue of being Asian.
Okay.
But it's really just about the reality of being an Asian person in Vancouver today and how and what that means. And what that means is, yes, you're Asian, here I am, but to a great extent as well, we've adopted a lot of, you know, Vancouver things, a lot of Western things, and it's just more complex than I think a lot of the outside people outside of the community really realize. So when we wrote this, we did target it towards an external audience as well. But certainly a lot of the issues that we touch on are things that within the Asian community we are very familiar with. So it's to target everyone, really.
I think that's a wonderful concept that you guys are trying to convey. And I think it's about time that you take that to stage in Vancouver. And I hope our listeners will go, because it's not race specific. It's applicable to everybody, because it's a love story first and foremost, and then Asian characters are playing in it.
So let's give you a chance to win tickets for the production February 6th to 9th of Twisting Fortunes. Call in to our studio 604-684-7561 and we'll give you a free pair of tickets. While we're waiting for your call, we'll give you a few more details about this production. It's called Twisting Fortunes, February 6th to 9th, 8 p.m. nightly at the Playwrights Theatre Center, which is on Granville Island on Cartwright Street. Tickets are $10 at the door, $11 online. And you can go online to www.scriptingaloud.ca and plug in for more information there about the play. In studio, we have Charlie Cho and Grace Chin, who are the co-writers of this interesting and very applicable play. And I might see it and see if my couple from
might
Sully's...
Might see it?
Well, if I win the ticket. See if the couple from Sully's Bakery make it there hand in hand. Okay, we're going to say goodbye to our guest this morning. Thank you for listening to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. We'll thank also Christine Germano, who was talking to us this morning about her Through Our Eyes exhibit at the Roundhouse Theater. We'll see you next week. On behalf of Don Paley, Charles Boylan, Joyce Lamb, and me, Grace Kim, we'll catch in with you on Monday again for Wake Up with Co-op Radio. Thanks, and have a great day. You're going to be listening to Rock Talk coming up next.
Counting the days that pass me by, I've been searching deep down in my soul. The words that I'm hearing are starting to get old.